Doesn't seem all that long since we left Abe yesterday.
Covered some miles.
Trader was showing signs of tiredness, his breathing harsh and ragged. Twice he'd been doubled over with a coughing fit. The second time, Ryan was almost certain that he'd seen a spray of scarlet on the older man's breath.
Best look for somewhere to hole up.
Ryan had been uncomfortable for the last half hour, the hairs at the back of his neck warning him that they were being shadowed. Twice he'd casually stopped and glanced around, once pretending his bootlace had worked loose. But he hadn't seen anything.
You reckon there's been feeling for a good few minutes now that...
Me too. Like an itch you can't quite get at to scratch.
We seen nothing.
Trader looked slowly around, scanning the mountains of rubble.
One of the first things you taught us was that when you couldn't see the Apaches, it probably meant they were about to attack you, Trader. Glad you remember something I taught you, Ryan.
The sun seemed to fall out of the western sky like a boulder off a high cliff. The clouds had finally slipped away, leaving long shadows that stretched up and over the ruins of Seattle. Now, the shadows were gone. Only the few buildings that still remained with more than a half dozen floors were lit, a bright golden glow on the dappled walls that faded quickly, the final light of the sinking sun moving upward. Once it was gone, the darkness became like a potent living force, flowing all around Ryan, JB, and the Trader, like soft black velvet.
Need someplace.
Left it late.
JB had the shotgun at his hip, his head turning slowly from side to side, as if he could already see an enemy approaching them.
Some kind of mall ahead there. Thought I saw an entrance before the sun moved away. Underground?
Trader shook his head, his face a pale blur in the deepening gloom.
Can't say I ever cared much for burrowing underground.
Me neither.
We don't have a lot of choice. Seems that this part of the village is just wasted. No houses, no stores, nothing much for shelter. Sleep out? In the heart of a ruined ville? Come on, we all know better than that.
There was some white-painted graffiti just inside the entrance. This is a place of God's carelessness, it read. None of them commented on it. They also saw what might have been a street gang symbol. Ryan had seen similar daubs in the heart of old New York. Skulls or squares or circles of one color or another. This was an inverted cross in red. Trader hesitated at the opening, constantly turning to peer back over his shoulder.
You think this was an underground shopping mall?
Looks like it. Smells like it's been used as a public outhouse for the last 100 years.
Best go in and find us a corner before it gets to be full dark.
Ryan led the way into the noisome chasm, picking his way among the rubble. Though Ryan's night sight wasn't anywhere as good as Jack Lauren's, it was still adequate to see in the darkening gloom inside the mall. The place had been completely stripped. Not a shard of glass or splinter of wood remained. The shelves and signs had gone from all of the individual retail units, and there were no doors or windows, just the bare concrete boxes, looking like the unoccupied stalls in a gigantic stable.
You still got that feeling, Ryan?
Yeah. How about you, Trader?
Strong. I might have been out of the way of firefights for a while, but you don't forget that feeling.
JB nodded, the fading light glinting off his glasses.
Shame we haven't got Christy here. She could feel if there was any real threat around.
Don't need a redhead muty pitch to tell us that.
Ryan already had the Sig Sauer unholstered, and he half turned toward the older man, aware of that same dangerous flush of anger. But he controlled it.
We can always walk right out, head south at east, and we'll be back with Abe around dawn. Is that what you two want?
Neither JB nor Trader answered him.
Then we find a nice quiet stone box and set our backs to the wall and wait out the night. For fuck's sake, Ryan. Let's get settled.
Right.
It would have been unthinkable to spend the night in such a place, at the heart of a huge nuked ville, without taking every precaution. Ryan picked out a corner unit to one side of the mall, where nobody could come at them from the back without being spotted. He offered to take first watch. JB picked second, and Trader agreed that he'd be on guard through the last part of the night, toward first light. They all nibbled at some of the beef jerky that they'd taken from the ranch outside Seattle, and drank some water. Then the armorer and Trader lay down, each wrapped in a single blanket to pass the night. Ryan sat close to the entrance, where he could look both ways out across the atrium space. His gun was in his hand, and he leaned his back against the cold wall. JB had folded his glasses and tucked them safely in a pocket, lying down and falling almost instantly into a quiet sleep. His scattergun was close beside him. Trader was less peaceful. Ryan nudged the old man with his foot to partly wake him. Trader rolled over onto his other side. Ryan listened to the oppressive stillness that gathered all around him. He'd read enough horror comics and books, as well as occasionally watching flickering bits of ragged vids, to know that abandoned shopping malls were a favorite resort of monsters and ghouls. The mouth of the mall acted as an echo chamber for the far-off sounds of the night. Ryan heard some disturbing noises, but nothing seemed to enter the catacomb. Water dripped across the far side of the building, and he once heard what might have been a large frog or a lizard splashing through one of the dark, stagnant pools that lay between the pillars. It was tempting to get up and stretch his legs, perhaps walk around the cavernous mall for a little while. But to do that would make himself a vulnerable target if there was anyone watching for him. He gradually became aware of a very different kind of sound. Music floating in and around him. Trader seemed aware of it, stirring in his sleep, then becoming quiet again. Ryan listened to the tune, finding that it was peaceful and restful, lulling him away from any thoughts of potential risks within the deserted mall. It was very odd that the reedy music had seemed to be so far away, drifting in from somewhere over the western slopes of the distant Cascades, carrying the first flavor of ice and snow. But now it was closer. The warm, sensual sound enveloped Ryan in its beauty, taking away the threat of imminent danger from the creatures of the night beyond the mall. It took him back to his early childhood, before violence and hatred had marked him for its own, and the gentle, blue-misted Shens, when life had been secure and he had known brief periods of true happiness. All of that came to him borne on the feathered wings of the swelling music. He ran barefoot over cropped turf beneath the golden summer sun, the scent of clover fields filling his nostrils. Ryan was smiling in the pitchy blackness. He slowly lifted his right hand and brushed it softly over his face, skirting the patch that covered the weeping, empty socket of his left eye. It felt so good that Ryan closed his eye for a moment, allowing his breathing to gradually slow, keeping the soft tempo of the music. Now it was playing very, very close to him, inside his own mind, filling his head, washing away all of the other thoughts and worries. Ryan slept, completely unaware that they had company in the mall. Jack had been less than keen on the idea of Doc going off on his own for a few days, on some sort of mysterious expedition, where he would apparently do some sketching and scribble a few lines of verse, and try to come to terms with his own innermost thoughts. The previous evening, after the old man had gone early to his bed, the other four companions had sat around the big dining table and discussed his request to have some time alone in the backcountry. Dean's voice had been loudest against the idea.
He'll get himself chilled before he's been gone for a half hour.
Why? Why, Doc? That's what I want to know. What's the point? We know Doc. Doc knows Doc. We also know danger.
Christy had a sudden bleak vision that almost stopped her heart. To her, the repetition of the word Doc by Jack had the monotonous sound of a nail being hammered into an oak coffin, or the sonorous slow ticking of a long case clock set against the wall of a chapel of rest.
Ryan, what is it?
Mildred had seen the way that Christy's face had gone sheet white, her green eyes standing out like burning emeralds, her sentient hair suddenly curling in on itself. But the moment had passed. Mildred had been very ambiguous about Doc's idea to journey off alone. Partly joking, she'd suggested that if anything happened to the old goat, then they could all enjoy a more peaceful life.
But seriously, this could be just a part of the endless process of coming to terms with grief and bereavement for him. My deep suspicion is that a part of Doc Tanner will always be locked firmly away back in the 19th century with his wife and his children. I know it's not easy to lose loved ones like that.
For a split second, in her mind's eye, Mildred glimpsed a charred log, still smoldering, shaped like a man. She could smell the stench of roasted flesh above the sickly scent of the magnolias on the southern breeze. Her beloved father had been murdered by men who hid behind white hoods. Christy had been the only one who had positively pressed for Doc to be given their blessing for his planned expedition into the New Mexico canyons.
Despite